You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are coming to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Tiki and Tierney here as we resume the College Hoops aspect of the season. CBS Sports Radio, 4 tonight, 4 tomorrow. Boom, Sweet 16 becomes Elite 8. And then eventually we will all mosey out to San Antonio. This show will mosey out to San Antonio, bring the Final Four to you, wherever you may be. By the way, no TV the rest of the way. So if you're looking to catch us, if you're driving home anticipating, you can watch us on TV, as you often do, on CBS Sports Network. They are, our friends are doing some college hoops for the NIT, I think it is?
No, they're doing a Division II semifinals, national semifinals. But right now, they're actually in a NCAA March Madness bracket breakdown.
Okay, they all do a good job. I know that's Swin Cash and Buddy Swin Stover Cash. And Gary Gillen. Parrish. Pete Gillen. Formerly coach your team.
Yeah, old UVA guy.
And Providence as well. Yeah. Also, so the point is, if you want to stick with us here, many of you might not know this, we are also now moving forward, Channel 206, Sirius XM.
Yep, we got our own.
Which is awesome.
Our own station, our own one for all the CBS Sports Network or CBS Sports Radio programming is now Sirius XM 206.
Yep.
So change that favorite on your dial to 206.
That's right. We got a ton of great affiliates that have been with us really since day one. Tiki and Tierney, all the different cities, all the unique states that we're in, basically everywhere across the country. But if you're out of town and you want to stick up with us and hang with your boys and all the shows, again, just Channel 206, Sirius XM. That is how you get your CBS Sports Radio. But at least specific to us, and no disrespect, more importantly to us, that's how you get your Tiki and Tierney.
Exactly.
Every day. All right, brother. So let's get to this here. Let's get to this. This, to me, and I know they had a 30 for 30 on it, and I know it's certainly incredible, and it very well might remain in the vault of greatness without any real competition.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm beginning, and I'm referencing the 83 NFL draft with Marino and all the great stories that emerged from that, and of course the quarterbacks and John Elway. Tick, I'm beginning to look at this with the possibilities, this upcoming draft, all the possibilities, the trades we've already had with the Jets and the Colts swapping 6-3. The Giants made a move with JPP. Mm-hmm. That obviously could change some things, what they do it to.
Right.
The
Bills still haven't moved yet.
Neither is Miami sitting there. Mm-hmm. And by the way, a spot ahead.
Yeah.
Now, the Bills have more assets, but the Dolphins are a spot ahead at number 11.
And maybe a little bit more desperate, the Dolphins, because let's not forget, Ryan Tannehill mm-hmm. will be their starting quarterback, but he's coming off an ACL.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like he's healthy.
Well, then why don't we say that about Deshaun Watson? Because Deshaun Watson got hurt later than Ryan Tannehill got hurt in the spring.
Because he's young, and we're not worried about his future with the team. Mm. Whereas with Ryan Tannehill,
more pressing in terms of decision.
It's more pressing. I mean, I know he restructured his deal, so it makes it likely that he'll be there even if he isn't healthy.
Okay.
But there's just an urgency. It's time.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Tannehill, it's time.
Well, what are we, 35 days out, 36 days out from the draft? Whatever it is, it's right in that neighborhood, right? I just go back to when, how stunned we were sitting on your couch when you hear that little alert, we have a trade.
Uh-huh.
When the Bears jumped into two to get on draft night.
That's true.
Okay? We are 36 days away. I mean, who knows what's going to happen 36 hours or 36 seconds before the picks are made. This is going to go down as the most epic draft of all time, in my opinion.
I agreed, and because there's still going to be movement. After seeing JPP get traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by the New York Giants, and the Giants are sitting at number two, there's a good chance they go get a young defensive end. You know what I mean? And so they're not going to take one at two, so they could pull out of that.
The Giants.
Yeah,
you don't think they could take Chubb at two?
I mean,
I think they could,
but I don't think they need to.
Well, that's a different conversation. Go ahead and talk to us.
So I think the Bills are going to go to two.
Okay.
And I think quarterbacks go top three. I think Darnold, as we talked about yesterday, because he proved himself to be the guy in his pro day, goes to the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Giants get traded out with probably the Bills.
Okay.
The Bills come up and they take either Arnold, Allen or Rosen.
I could see the Bills taking Allen.
I think so as well. And then the Jets.
Whose pro day, by the way, is tomorrow. Yep. Josh Allen.
And then the Jets end up taking
Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm. And the Browns, who are still at four.
The Browns at four, then they still they can still get Saquon Barkley.
Could they trade with Miami, who can then move up and take Baker Mayfield in the four spot?
Maybe.
I mean, that's what I'm saying about this draft. See,
you could get four, the quarterbacks go on a run. Now, you rarely see it like that. Even that 83 draft that BT's talking about, it was Elway, but the next quarterback didn't come until 14. With Jim Kelly. I'm just looking at it now. There's so many Hall of Famers, by the way, in this draft, not just quarterbacks.
But a lot of those quarterbacks were overrated.
Oh, I mean, I know.
Think about this.
But I know, but they were still unbelievable.
Outside of Marino and Elway?
Yep.
I mean, really, Kenny O'Brien, decent, nothing. You know, a couple of pretty good years.
They were just hyped. They were just so hyped, all the quarterbacks.
Why am I forgetting the quarterback's name from Penn State? Todd Blackledge.
Blackledge.
I mean, he did nothing in the NFL. He did nothing.
You're right. But.
Tony Eason,
Daryl Green was in this draft also.
Daryl Green,
yeah. Jim Kelly was number four. Bruce Matthews.
Oh wow.
Eric Dickerson. It was a really good draft, man.
Who was the second overall pick?
Second overall pick was Eric Dickerson.
Oh, ED. It was ED. He went second.
And then another running back. These are when running back used to go really high. Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner, Penn State.
Yep.
He would have been great if he didn't get hurt.
I know.
He was really good for Seattle.
Yeah. Kurt with a C, by the way.
That's right. That's when they had Dave Craig and Largent. Mm-hmm. That was they were on the come. Yeah. To become a power.
You're right.
And they were good as it was.
So to your point, BT, about that 83 draft being held with this esteem, this like, you know, this untouchable, I don't know, I don't even know what the aura. It could be matched this year, depending on how these guys end up playing in the National Football League. But I think it's different because I think they're all going to go early. I think even Lamar Jackson goes before 15 or 16 or so. And there's so many different reasons for that.
Wow.
And it's not, you know, somebody wants to have him be their franchise quarterback. It's a team like, say, the Saints, who they need somebody, or the Chargers. Not that the Chargers are in the running to do this, but the Saints
eventually
and the Chargers,
they
need somebody.
Yeah.
Or the Giants, if they move back, they need, all these teams need somebody. The Steelers, because they're sitting back there, move up and get a Lamar Jackson.
The Cardinals could maybe make something happen at 15.
Like, you need a guy who you can try to groom. He's been throwing pro passes. He's been in a pro-style offense at Louisville.
Yeah.
He's got unbelievable athleticism. You can afford to have him sit for 2 or 3 years and learn behind those veterans that are there. I mean, Lamar Jackson could end up being a mid to late round, first round pick as well, in addition to the four that we just mentioned that could go at the very top of the draft. So this could be an epic quarterback draft from drafting perspective. Who knows what they're going to turn out to be, but there's going to be a lot of movement. We've seen a lot already. I think there's going to be a lot more.
Oh, my God, absolutely. I mean, I look at this. I mean, I think every day I wake up, there's something that I...
Something new. You're right.
I have to tweet. Like, I can't wait to get on the air. I've got to tweet something because things are going down. And today I was, you know, having a little fun with what the Giants did. And I'm fun in terms of possibilities here. And I look at the Giants here, right? And, man, they have to either trade this pick or take a quarterback. I mean, I just can't back off this anymore.
Mm.
They have to.
Why?
Because I think that they'll forever lament if they don't. I mean...
How do we know Davis Webb isn't the guy?
We don't. To be fair, we don't know.
My problem
is... We don't know that.
And this is shame on me, because he played in the preseason. I just did not care at all.
There's no need to care at that point.
I didn't watch him, so I have no idea. People ask me, what about Davis Webb? I'm like, I have no idea. He played 1 year. He transferred in, right, to
Cal.
To Cal, and he only played a year there.
Played 1 year at Cal.
And then he's been a backup to Eli Manning, which is basically you're never seeing the field, if you know, because Eli doesn't miss games, doesn't miss time at all. So, I have no idea. But he might be, in their minds, the guy going forward. So, I mean... That's the only reason I resist this, because you would feel like they'd be talking about, we need a replacement for Eli, just like the Saints. The Saints know that they need a replacement for Drew Brees. You know, quarterbacks generally, when they hit 39, they, you know, save Tom Brady, save half the year for Peyton Manning. They're done. They're falling off the edge. Even Brett Favre, you know, he had a good year at 38. Then 39, he was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, Drew Brees is going to have to – they're going to need an answer for when they impose Drew Brees.
They can't burn a first-round pick on that. They are close to a championship. They're right there. I mean, they gave him 2 years, $50 million, Drew
I know,
Brees.
But
you can't – I But I know what you're saying. It makes sense.
His deal is so easy, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's so team-friendly. It's so easy.
But they're so good still. Their draft last year really will keep them relevant for probably 3 or 4 more years, more than they would have been. Their draft was phenomenal.
Yeah, but that was luck. That was all luck.
Well,
Scouting was still really good. Because they wanted to take Pat Mahomes. They were going to take Pat Mahomes. That's why Kansas City traded up and drafted him.
Was it a smokescreen?
No, they were going to take Pat Mahomes.
We know that for sure?
I'm almost positive. Okay. Because Drew Brees' contract is so prohibitive, right? And he can't be franchised going forward, right? So he was basically playing on his last year last year. And who knows what was going to happen?
If they went 7-9
or 5-11, are you hanging on to Drew Brees for another season? No,
that's true. If you look at it like that, that's fair.
They were going to draft his replacement, and the guy was Pat Mahomes, and that's why Kansas City traded up to get him. And so, the Saints are sitting there like, damn, our guy is gone. You know what? Let's take this kid, Alvin Kamara. All right, turned out to be a baller. You know, and they're the first round pick. I'm forgetting his name, the DB, who was also rookie of the year.
From Ohio State.
Yep, exactly. So they ended up lucking into an unbelievable draft, which made them very viable. But the question about quarterback still remains. Mm-hmm. Who replaces Drew Brees, either after this year or after next year? Because he's only on a 2-year deal, and he's not playing when he's 41.
You're talking about Lattimore. We had him on the show with his dad.
Yeah, exactly. Good kid.
Oh, really good kid. Great, but really. Boy, I don't like to throw the word great around, but
great young player.
Trending, yes, and trending toward a great player. Yeah. He's special. So, Teague, this draft night to me, and just as much as we try to, and this is also for clickbait. I get all this, mm-hmm. But no matter what and I'm talking about an hour before the draft, no matter what we think we know.
Yeah, you're right.
Although I would say, I'm going to actually do this. I'm going to videotape myself writing down Sam Darnold on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to post this, and we're going to keep this pinned on top of our page. Sam Darnold's going first overall to the Browns. You can take that to the bank.
I think there's no question anymore.
But outside of that, I stand by. Now, again, 83 was covered so different. Mm-hmm. I didn't even watch the 83 draft. I don't even know if I had ESPN to watch it, if it was even on ESPN.
I don't know if it was even on TV.
I don't know. Was it?
I mean, I don't remember.
It's crazy. You always see them all smoking cigarettes. Yeah. Like, they don't even have a war room. They're, like, out front and center. They're just taking their smoking heaters as they're on the phone, cutting deals. Pete Rozelle walking. I think he was smoking, too. I mean, it's nutty. This draft is awesome, and this football, this is exactly what football needs. We've said that a lot now.
Yeah.
It's been a really good month for the NFL.
No, I
really
agree.
Has been.
And there's so many things that are going to happen and are still going to evolve as surprise pieces get moved around. I didn't think JPP was not going to be a Giant.
I didn't even think. That wasn't even anywhere near my radar.
You're right.
I didn't even think about it.
And here he is in Tampa now.
Yeah.
He could do great things for Tampa, but somehow the Giants feel like he's expendable.
I think he is. At age
he's
29.
Probably right, but I didn't see it coming.
No, we didn't. In terms of variables for the rule book as well, got a little update on that here. The NFL and their thoughts on the pass interference rule, how things could be changing. We talked about, obviously, yesterday, what's a catch, what's not a catch, what isn't a catch. A little clarification there. This generates a lot of reaction both sides of the aisle. Some for it, some against it, and very few in between. Maybe embracing the college format with the PI. We'll talk about that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, and CBS Sports Network here on a Thursday. So we got inbounds, out of bounds coming up next here, Teak. And obviously, there's been a lot of conversation about trying to tweak the whole what's a catch, what's not, so it's not so nebulous. We don't have to waste time discussing every Sunday or Monday night or Thursday night.
It becomes the narrative of the game. It's the only thing you talk about.
It's the worst.
Well, we get screwed on that third down catch.
It strips away the enjoyment. It becomes like a job.
I agree. Almost. It's like a burden.
A little bit of a burden. So even though it's not perfect, it's certainly more clear than it was. This is interesting, too, though. The report on the competition committee, not in favor of the 15-yard pass interference change, which is obviously how college football operates. Troy Vincent believes momentum exists for changing defensive pass interference from a spot foul to a 15-yard penalty. Apparently, though, he's not really joined by enough company to make that a reality.
Well, the reason is, at least this is how you interpret it from some of the things that people coming out of the competition committee, meeting said, which is chaired by our buddy here, Rich McKay, obviously down at the Atlanta Falcons. They said the NFL is mostly reactionary. So say that important games at whatever point in the season, let's say it's close to the playoffs, so it's going to determine whether or not a team's going to get to the postseason, or a team in the postseason wins or loses a game because a guy, you know, falls down and trips, you know, accidentally trips a guy, gets called a pass interference, and say it's a 60-yard pass, changes field position, says desperation, all of a sudden guy kicks a field goal. It's just completely unfair.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so until things like that happen enough, and so it's not even like once, it's got to happen like four or five times and have significant impact on a game before the competition committee will say, yeah, this is a problem that we need to address, and this is how we'll fix it. So they just don't see it as a problem. I don't ever see it as a problem. I just see it as a stupid rule. You know, why should there be the ability for a referee on a subjective call, by the way, and we know they're subjective because pass interference happens all the time. Can someone change field position by 50 yards simply because it becomes a strategy for a quarterback and a coordinator to say, all right, I know that you're going to beat this guy. Lean into him when the ball gets close. He'll tangle up with you. We're going to get 50 yards, right? We don't have to complete the pass. You just got to indict and induce a pass interference call. That's why I don't love it. And I think also we said this when we first started talking about this, whenever this was a month ago, every single rule that's been added in the last decade to the NFL has benefited the offense. Nothing gives the defense an advantage, even a little bit of an advantage, right? DB, cornerback gets beat. Man, you just Odell, you toasted me off the line of scrimmage. I mean, this is a touchdown, right? I don't want to give up a touchdown. I'm going to tackle you or whatever, push you out of bounds. Give him a little pass to get 15 yards and live to play another down, as opposed to, here we go, another 40-yard, you know, penalty that changes field position and changes the outcome of the game.
What's happened too often here, Teak, is that really just throwing a 50-yard go route for the sake of trying to get what happened the way you just described. That's almost become a play.
It is. It is a play, BT.
Which is not the way the game was
of
meant
course
to
not.
Be.
I hate it. That's why I hate it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it either. I would have been very cool if they would have. Well, let me actually, before I even get into that, remember we had Chipper on the show yesterday. Chipper Jones, of course, Hall of Famer. Great. It's on our website. It was awesome. We talked about everything. Pace of play. And he really does lament, even, you know, Yankees and Red Sox going to London. It really was a good spot. Chipper's a good friend of the show. I would go and listen to it if you're a baseball fan. And one thing that Chipper said, and he's trying to, because listen, he's on the Braves. He's the special ops, to the president. He's got a title with the Braves, so he doesn't want to completely, you know, take a match to what baseball's trying to do here. So he's straddling the line of remaining true to his old school roots, but also being a good soldier, so to speak. But it was obvious that he laments the softness that's permeated the game. And whether it's taking out somebody at second base or, you know, various things. And I brought up when Buster Posey got crushed at home plate. And I said, Chipper, I said, to your point about an overreaction, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just football who overreacts. I've always said that if it wasn't Buster Posey, whose ankle was fractured and twisted and turned in a million different directions, if it was a guy who's the 21st man on the roster who's a 219 punch and Judy catcher with defensive prowess, but he can't hit. If that guy gets hurt, they're not changing the rule because it's Buster Posey and MVP. They change the rule. That's fine. But what I would really like to see, how about varying degrees of pass interference? Well, why can't we get a balance here?
Yeah.
We have a flagrant one foul in the NBA.
Right.
You go above the head, it's pretty obvious. Right. You go to the, flagrant one. Flagrant two. Why can't we distinguish between a play so that you would dissuade players? Because I know they don't want to see this. They don't want to muck it up and make it like the 1950s. If Julio Jones gets a step, you don't want to just see, you know, quarterback X grab his shoelace. Yeah. That's not football.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you tackle
him. But if
that
does happen.
Yeah, then it's a spot foul.
No, if that happens, then that's a 70, wherever it happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's a spot foul.
If it doesn't, if it doesn't happen like that, and it's just within the confines of the game, and it's not really on purpose, 15-yard foul.
Yeah, I agree.
Why can't we do that?
You're running toe-to-toe.
Problem solved.
You're running toe-to-toe. Ball comes up, or you don't turn around in time, and you get that face-guarding pass interference, which I hate even worse than the regular pass interference. It's because the guy's timing is wrong. He doesn't sight the receiver's eyes and realize that the ball is coming, so he turns around, and his head gets there. That's pass interference. I hate that that's pass interference, and that becomes a 60-yard play. It's ridiculous. This technique could be flawless, except he didn't turn his head around. I mean, how many times have you seen that? You know what I mean?
That seems so hard to do. I don't know how.
It's
I don't know how your brother
hard.
Did that.
It's so hard.
80,000 people in the stadium. So you try to. I mean, because and I say that because as you're looking. I mean, even though you probably block out the fans, but they're there.
Yeah.
And you try to locate the ball you try to, you know, hand battle with the
ball. Where is this guy still here? My head's turned around.
Where's
I'm running full
sideline?
Speed. It's so hard. Ugh. And so you see so many pass interferences come from simply the guy not turning his head around. That shouldn't be a 50-yard penalty. That should be a 15-yard penalty. Now, if Odell Beckham gets behind you and you got 6 yards and you're like, you know what?
He jump on his back.
I jump on his back and tackle him.
Spot foul.
Spot foul.
Yeah. Well, we're on the same page with this, but it doesn't seem like they're going to do that either.
No, because there's nothing forcing them to do it, right? There's no outrage. There was outrage with the catch rule. Mm-hmm. You saw it year over year over year.
What about being proactive for once and don't wait for the outrage?
But they're just not. They're just not.
Isn't that the problem with the NFL?
Well,
don't wait for the outrage. Do it now.
That's the difference. That's the difference between the NFL and some of the other leagues. They are proactive, right? They create different they foresee scenarios that are going to happen and try to alleviate them, or nuances that haven't actually become issues they try to change. Whereas in the NFL, it's not until you guys get so mad about it that we're forced to do it, we're just not going to address it.
Hey, if the USGA, which is as rigid historically as any, you know, umbrella to any sporting division that they're in. I mean, if they can modernize their rule book and make it a little bit easier and interpret it a little bit differently, I'm sure the NFL and others could do it. You know, the problem, though, is, and you say that, you know, it's the uproar's not there. And you're right. The uproar's not there for pass interference like it is for catch. I'm not even going to waste my time disputing that. You're 100% right. But what's become unfun as a football fan every time the ball's in the air, If it's my guy trailing playing defense, I'm like, oh, please don't. I don't want to see that yellow flag. Oh, no. Or if it's my guy running and we don't make the catch, I'll throw the flag. The flag.
Oh, well, you see the guys.
That's all you do.
But you see the guys doing it too.
I mean, yeah, no, I know.
Guys,
I know.
Get up.
I know.
I mean, if a pass is incomplete, and I don't care if it was close, borderline pass interference or not, the first thing a receiver does, if the pass is incomplete, is flag, throw the flag.
Yeah.
You're going to be nowhere near him. Throw the flag. And it's like, shut up. Yeah, just go back to the huddle.
Tough way to watch football, though. That gets annoying.
It does.
And then you're surprised when there is no flag.
Yeah.
You're like, woo. And then you get the late flag, which you're like, when you start to celebrate if it's in favor of your team. And then you see that little stupid flag kind of trickle across the, you know, where it hits the upper left or the lower left hand portion of the screen. Ah, they called the flag. And it changes the whole game.
Of course,
where
they
threw the flag.
Especially because if it's a 50 plus yard spot foul.
Yeah.
It just drives you insane.
But here's the other problem. We'll get the update from Mac. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. The other issue, though, Teak, is as much as I wouldn't mind seeing flagrant one, flagrant two, the varying degrees of a PI, I'd be okay with that. The more that would be a problem, because then you would have people critiquing, well, it really wasn't a flagrant one.
Yeah.
Would add to a different discourse on social media.
It becomes subjective.
Correct.
And then you get more replay.
Yeah. So preemptively, probably best to avoid that.
You're right.
Okay. Axe update is coming up next. Thursday staple, inbounds, out of bounds as well. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money? Switch to Geico. Homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, get it all at geico.com. Inbounds, out of bounds, up next. ACK up now.
This week on my podcast, Tiki's Barbershop, sponsored by Geico, I got a chance to talk with my UVA teammate, former UVA teammate, that is, Thomas Jones, who's now an actor. He's a great movie just produced and acted in called A Violent Man. Go check it out. But also, go to iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify to download the podcast. And great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
There you go. Maybe he can reenact the Bronx Tale. Now you can't leave.
Now you can't leave. Imagine a Bronx Tale with black dudes.
I mean, the Bronx, sure. I can, actually.
Not mafia.
That really was a great
gangsters.
Movie. Just gangsters. Yeah. That's one of the iconic scenes in all, though. I don't care what. Now, whether it's a gangster movie list, I mean, whether it's Goodfellas, Casino, lesser extent, even though that was good, it was very long.
Yeah.
Raging Bull, not quite from that genre, but an extension. Scarface. That was phenomenal. That scene.
Talking about Scarface?
No, I'm talking about Bronx Tale. When he closes the door, now's you can't leave. Now yous can't leave. It's like the song.
Wait, what's the My Cousin Vinny?
My cousin Vinny.
The two Utes.
Yeah.
Did you say Utes?
Yeah. Now we're talking about Married to the Mob. We're gonna pull. That's an obscure one for you. Remember that one? You ever hear that? Married to the Mob.
I don't remember Mike, the details.
Utes.
Two Utes.
Mike, who is the star? Married to the Mob. You don't remember that? It was a comedy. I'm gonna say it came out in the. It would have been a couple of years after Grease 2. I believe Grease 2 came out in 1982 because Michelle Pfeiffer was in this movie, and that's the star. Married to the Mob. I think Matthew Modine was in that as well. I want to say 86, Married to the Mob.
Who was the star?
Matthew Modine and Michelle Pfeiffer. That's why it had to be after 82, and it was probably pre-90.
88.
All right. In the neighborhood.
Close.
In the window. You ready for some inbounds, out of bounds,
Yeah, let's get to this.
Let's go. Out of bounds. All righty, here we go. The Giants traded Jason Pierre-Paul, Tiki's former team, to the Bucks. They pick up a third-round pick, and they also swap fourth-rounders. So JPP, 29 years of age, 16.5 sacks back in 2011. He was a beast. And 12.5 in 2014 before blowing up his hand in 2015 with the fireworks, as we know. And he's had just 15 sacks over the past 2 years since the injury. So, inbounds or out of bounds. JPP is still a Pro Bowl level defensive end.
Now, if you said all pro, I would have said out of bounds. But you say Pro Bowl level D, and I'm going to say inbounds, especially considering where he's going this year down to Tampa Bay. Gerald McCoy, anchors the inside of that defensive line. And on the other side, Vinny Curry, he of the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, is also a new addition to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So their D-line is going to be good. You're going to have to make some choices on who to block. And if JPP can get some singled up sometimes coming after the quarterback, I think he can have a sack enough season or have enough sacks in a season to be Pro Bowl level. And also because so many guys drop out of the Pro Bowl, he'll probably make it.
It's so funny. You know, when we get this before the show, I usually kind of like to keep this where, I mean, most of the show, really, none of the show was scripted, actually, to be totally honest with you. But there will be, you know, two or three words that I might just put down, just kind of trigger a thought. I wrote down exactly what you wrote. I underlined the word Pro Bowl, and I wrote not all pro, and therefore it's inbounds.
Right.
Because there's a lot of guys that get to the Pro Bowl I don't want to say that it doesn't mean anything. Of course it does, but it's very misleading. It's inbounds. I mean, it's a passing league. If you can get to the quarterback, you're still bringing something to the table. He's still south of 30. Barely. But I also think, you know, they talk about players learning how to trust their body again. Like you blow up a knee, have it repaired usually, or an Achilles. They say a year and a half or so after it where you're fully back. Let's not forget, he lost two digits. And I can't imagine that you learn overnight how to play without two fingers.
Yeah, you're right.
So he's not at all pro, but he still does something important. I mean, listen, Chandler Jones had 17 sacks a year ago. Calais Campbell had, I think, 4 in week 1, and he finished up with just about 15. We know that Joey Bosa is great. Cameron Hayward's really good. I mean, he's not that kind of Cameron Jordan for the Saints, but he's still very good.
I agree.
He's going to help him out. Moving on. How about this? 49ers GM John Lynch, who's doing a pretty good job, by the way, said this week that head coach Kyle Shanahan originally wanted his former quarterback in Washington, Kirk Cousins, rather than Jimmy G.
Makes sense.
Yeah, okay. And Shanahan was, quote, in mourning because his master plan was to have Cousins come in. So, as we know, Jimmy G played 5 games. Well, he started 5 games. He came in that first game and threw a touchdown, his little mop-up duty there. Somebody got hurt, whatever. Bethard, is that his name?
Yeah.
And went 5-0 as a starter.
CJ.
While Cousins signed a 3-year deal with the Vikings, inbounds, out of bounds, Jimmy G will have a better year than Cousins.
I can't co-sign
in 2018.
That. Can't co-sign that. Out of bounds. Let's not forget who is surrounding Kirk Cousins. You have two really good running backs. Jared McKinnon's gone now, but you have a good run game because your O-line is really good. You have two great wide receivers, and you have a defense that's likely to get you the ball in advantageous field position week in and week out, whereas the 49ers even though they may be significantly better next year, are still kind of rebuilding. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say out of bounds, just by virtue of the team around the two players.
It's funny. I kind of thought of it. That's how I attacked it to start. I'm with you in that sense that he very well could be the better player in terms of just more, you know, just talent.
Agreed.
Pure arm talent and all that stuff. But in the context of the team, he's out of it's out of bounds. Niners will be much improved here. But what I find interesting, that's a very candid admission by John Lynch. Maybe too candid. Mm-hmm. If it just come back and bite him here.
You're right.
Think about this. You gave all that money, You gave all that money to Garoppolo when the Vikings gave all that money to Cousins. But if Garoppolo flops, and I don't think you and I think he will, but imagine if he does. Mm-hmm. Just imagine if last year was a little misleading, and now he's the main guy, and he goes 5-11, and he throws 23 picks. I mean, it could happen.
Right.
You never know. Then John Lynch makes himself look bad because he's admitting that he did not deliver the guy that his head coach wanted. And if the guy that his head coach wanted goes nuts in Minnesota
and gets to the championship game or wins the Super Bowl or whatever, because Minnesota's not bad.
Yep. But that's why I think John Lynch will be very good at this job. He's not worried about a quote burning him. Mm-mm. He's a football man who's going by his gut, and he's doing what he thinks he needs to do.
I think you're right. Okay. I like John Lynch a lot.
So do I. Adam Silver, NBA commish, has floated various ideas to improve the playoffs. We've talked about this here on TK and Tierney. Very proactive. Including a potential play-in game that would give the 9th and the 10th seeded teams in each conference a chance to make the playoffs. Now, this week, LeBron not exactly having it. Well, they would be playing eventually for the right to maybe play for a championship that if they advance. But that might be my favorite LeBron quote of all time.
Because it's real.
It's so real. It's whack.
But
it's corny. Go ahead.
Are you sure this isn't 9th and 8th and not
7th will play the 10th and the 8th will play the 9th. And the winners of those, and it's like a round robin.
I see. I got you. So the question is LeBron's opinion.
Yes, I'm sorry. So, in or out, LeBron's opinions on the NBA do greatly influence owners and the commissioner.
I think it influences one owner, Dan Gilbert, and the commissioner. No, so out of bounds. I think LeBron is a great soundbite, just like this one says.
This is great.
I think
that's corny. That's whack.
That's corny. What are they going to play for?
Constellation president or Constellation prize in this league? Whack, man.
But I think if the NBA thinks this is better a revenue driver, then it doesn't, they don't give a damn
ding.
What LeBron says.
Ding. Out of bounds for me as well. I don't like that we agree on the first three.
I know, man. It's Santa. You got to know us a little bit better.
Diversify.
D-Cell, do this from now on.
Ooh. Out of bounds.
Sam's just not in there.
He's not. Out of bounds. He just left the room. Out of bounds for this reason. I understand that it's easy to think that everything the NBA does now in real time is a reaction to what LeBron and maybe two or three other people think, whether it's Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, you know, the leading figures and faces of the league here, but it's not. That's not how you run a business. The business has always got to be about the big picture. And whether or not you think LeBron's better than MJ or MJ better than LeBron or Magic Johnson and Bird better than whomever, it doesn't matter. There's always, or Kobe or AI or Shaq, there's always another guy.
Yep.
So it might be a while, but there's going to be somebody who is comparable or even better to LeBron. You can't adjust the rules to one guy.
Yeah.
It's about the team. Out of bounds. I'm with you on this team. Oh, it's about the league.
Yeah.
Out of bounds. All right. So as we discussed yesterday here, former Rhode Island head coach Danny Hurley will become the next head coach of the UConn Huskies despite a big offer from Pitt. Now, here's the story. UConn has won 4 titles, most recently back in 2014, Kevin Ollie's team. But they've struggled of late since switching to the AAC, the American Athletic Conference, finishing below 500 the past 2 years.
Which is odd, right?
Kind of crazy.
You go to
especially
the AAC,
when Kevin Ollie almost became the Lakers head coach.
You go to the AAC and you get worse?
Although it is a little better than people think. But point taken. So from 2001 to 2016, Pitt made the Big Dance 13 of 15 times, but went just 4-32 the past 2 years in the stacked ACC. In or out, UConn is still a better job than Pitt.
I'm going to say inbounds, only because of the history, the national championship history. And the only reason I would say out of bounds is because of the money. And it's significantly less. It's, what, $700,000 less? He's taking
Rhode Island's offer was right around $2 million, by the way. They bumped. That's pretty aggressive for them.
Very aggressive.
And they had a commitment where they said they would open just a basketball-only facility within the next 2 years.
Yeah, which is by the way, half the battle,
yep.
as you know, BT.
It's an arms race.
It's half the battle for recruits.
Yep.
You have a facility where we can be. It's just us.
Yep.
But I'm still going to say UConn is a better. It's only because of the history. Because this is all about recruiting right now. Mm-hmm. At least he has some more ammunition going into these kids' homes talking about UConn than he would at Pitt, who has never won a national championship.
This is a tough one. This really is a tough one. Now, if I were Danny Hurley and the money's comparable, and again, you never know because he's going to lose a couple, even though they're going to be good next year. If he would have stayed at Rhode Island, they're going to lose at least two players. Yeah, two guys.
Yep.
Two players will leave. No guarantee you get back to the position that you were at this year, but maybe you actually do. And maybe there's a better job on the table. That's a lot of money to roll the dice on. You get 6 years guaranteed, roughly $3 million a year or whatever it is. Boy, you're talking $20 million. That's generational money. $20 million on the low end, including all the other stuff you get with it.
The shoe deals. Yeah,
shoe deals.
Else.
Oh, God.
Free house.
But I'm going to say inbounds. I don't love the job, but I'm going to say inbounds that it's better than Pitt because I really do believe that UConn's going to find their way back to the Big East. And I've said that for a couple of years
now.
And maybe football goes independent, whatever. But that has been whispered, and I know that both sides would like to make that happen. Inbounds. It's my answer. All right, Teek, after the Indians announced that they would get rid of controversial Chief Wahoo, the logo, of course, the Baseball Hall of Fame says it will not put Chief Wahoo on Jim Tomei. Santa wrote Tim Tomei, so thankfully I'm not... read the prompt.
Well,
here.
He didn't even write Dan Hurley in the preview.
I know, and I had to write that. You caught that, right?
I did.
You like that, right? So Tim Tomei, the great Tim Tomei, now batting Tim Tomei.
Tebow.
Tim Thomas.
Tim Tebow?
Tim Tebow.
Hall of Fame? What?
Upcoming Hall of Fame plaque. Jim Tomei's plaque's not going to have Chief Wahoo on it.
Mm.
And they will not use it for any Indian players moving forward. Now, somebody like Bob Feller, who's already in, it's grandfathered. They will not take that off the plaque, nor should they. But here's the question. The Hall of Fame should have that logo that Tomei wore on his plaque, in or out.
For 12 years he wore it. I'm going to say
in or out.
Out of bounds.
Do we cave to public sentiment or do we do here?
I think we're caving to doing what's right for the Indian.
What is Tiki doing? We don't care about we.
I'm saying out of bounds.
You saying out?
I'm not putting it on there.
I'm saying inbounds here. It should absolutely, that logo should be next to it. Let me ask you, if it's that offensive, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't think it is that offensive.
What's that?
I don't think it is that offensive.
I don't think it is either, but I'm not American Indian. I don't know. But if it's that offensive, then why wouldn't you scrub it everywhere in the Hall of Fame? Like, if it truly is that offensive, take it off Bob Feller.
Well, here's...
Take it off everybody.
Because then it becomes a talking point.
But it's a talking point anyway.
But when 20 years from now, when you take Colton up there, probably helping that 20
we're
years.
We're not waiting 20 years.
Five years from now.
He'll be 23 in 20 years. We're going way before that, brother.
When can he ask the question? He'll understand the question probably like... So 4 years from now, when you take him up there.
Yeah.
And he sees... The Indian section, and he says, "Well, how come Jim Tomei, how come he doesn't have that same Indian?"
Boy, if he's that perceptive at the age of seven, that'll be a nice catch. That's a nice catch at the age of seven.
My 7-year-olds, they ask questions like that.
I hear you, but you're noticing imagery. That's actually pretty good.
Well,
I mean, that's being aware.
I'm giving him credit.
I'll give him the talk. I'll say, "Listen, I'll explain it." And I'll say, "Daddy might not necessarily agree with it, but you know, times have changed, and that certainly got to respect that. It's the way it is." And I'm all for that. The last thing I want, anything that's offensive, son. But specific to the question, is I can end my dad conversation here, T. Please just don't get me the birds and the bees conversation, one that's going to, oh, man. Here's what you do, son. Actually, here's what you don't do, son.
I had to have that one.
Oh, did you?
I have 13 and a 15.
Okay, hold on. I want to get hit the sound. There we go.
Logo or none logo?
There should be a logo on Tomei because he's grandfathered in. In my opinion, how tough is the talk?
It was actually easier than I thought it was.
Because they already knew everything. Well,
because they're boys. Yeah, right.
Are they teaching you stuff?
No, but...
Yo, Dad, you hear about this
move? What? When I have to have it with my girls?
Oh, good God, no. Jesus, help me. Please, no. That I can't have that conversation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.